Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd has been and still is, I think, on campus at Kennesaw State University today, unless he got hit in the head by some of that flying debris from that construction zone he was just in. Goodness. Hopefully he moved away from that. Hopefully. Let's see, as we check back in now with Todd at Kennesaw State University. It's a Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
This could not be better because this is Jordan, who is studying sociology, which is the study of...
It's basically like the study of society and how it's like organized and like how people's behaviors make up certain societal like norms.
Which is actually what I do want to talk to you about. I wrote this little booklet right here, right? And it's called 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. Suicide in your generation is like exploding. Yeah. Sociologically, why do you think that's happening?
I feel like there's a lot of pressure in these modern day societies because even like as myself as a nursing major, I know that Kennesaw's nursing program is so hard and it's so competitive that it's honestly like not been the best time. Some mental breakdowns have happened because it's just like anatomy's kind of hard. So I just think there are a lot of pressures with school and just like other factors in life from like, I don't know, like family pressures and stuff, like friends. I feel like everything is just kind of heightened in a sense.
Just for fun, because this could be a real genuine sociological experiment, right? When I went to school, it was hard too, right?
Yeah.
And family issues, we all had them, yeah. Right? Now, granted, we don't have the phones and we don't have technology, but things were challenging then. But the suicide rate among your generation versus mine is radically higher. So what do you think is the issue, or what are the components that have contributed to your generation feeling like it's a better option to perhaps take their own life than to live? What do you suppose it might be?
In a way, I feel like depression, anxiety, and like things that lead up to suicide are almost like romanticized a little bit. I just feel like, I don't know, people just tend to brush it off as something that's not that bad.
Suicide?
No, well, like, I don't know. It's obviously it's horrible, but I just feel like it's more common, and that's why it's like romanticized in a way.
Okay, so it's acceptable because a lot of people do it, so it's not such a big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I'm actually not going to argue with you, but I'm just wondering, at what point must somebody get to think it's not so bad? Because there's something inside of me that says I don't want to die. That's like the biggest decision you can make. So I don't think you're wrong, but do you think there's anything else that contributes to that decision? Because it is a monumental and it is a final decision.
I think that a lot of people don't really, they're not very aware of all the resources that are available for them, which I feel like is also a factor. Because obviously everybody's trying their best, like counselors and advisors and just like parents, families, family members. So I just feel like, I don't know, it's a tough subject because like it's almost like they have to take the charge in order to reach out for help, because you can only do so much without them wanting help.
Let me share with you what I think are some, because there's many factors and many variances based on everybody's life. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what I think are some of the big things that are contributing to your generation being different in this regard than my generation. And then you, sociologically, can tell me what you think, all right? I think that because here at the university, and even in high school and junior high, you were taught a worldview that ultimately leads to death. That the postmodern worldview, which basically teaches there's no objective truth. It is merely subjective. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. We can totally disagree and we're both right because that's our truth. And yet, I think there's something inside of all of us that realizes that's not right. So for instance, if you went to pay for that Yeti mug at the store and they said, that's $30 for that mug. And you said, you know, my truth is it's $15, right? It doesn't, it's like, wait a second. No. But they told me at school that whatever my truth is reality. Yeah. But we live in a reality that says you don't get to define truth.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's this dissonance inside of a lot of people that's like, I'm being told one worldview that doesn't match reality. And it's causing me to be kind of confused, especially about moral issues. So for instance, instead of the Yeti, if there's nothing that is objectively wrong, there's nothing that is intrinsically evil, according to the worldview that's propagated here, there's something inside of me that says, actually there is. I know that genocide is evil. It's not a preference issue. It isn't just up to, just because the Germans as a culture decided it, that was not right. It is not right to beat a child. I know that. And yet they're telling me, I can't tell anybody they're wrong. I have to tell everybody they're right, and that's just their opinion. And I think that alone causes such conflict inside of us. It leaves our feet firmly planted in midair, where we're kind of believing one thing but living in a different reality. And I think that causes enough of a jarring to the human psyche that it can lead people to just a lot of confusion. All right, that's one reason. Thoughts on that?
Wow. I agree with you. I remember learning about with the worldviews and stuff and how they portray life as such like a linear thing about like there's a beginning and an end. So you're always taught about like, oh, like there's like everyone's going to die. Like, I don't know where I was going with that.
Let me try number two with you. All right. The evolutionary worldview would teach us that you and I are very, very lucky. Because a dog didn't evolve as far as we did, or pond scum didn't make it all the way to, but we somehow, through the great big cosmic lottery, you and I are just plain lucky. Now, if that's true, that also has some implications. It tells me that there really is no purpose to life. I'm just here. Yeah. I'm living. When I die, yeah. I'm dead. And there's no point to any of this. And if there's no right, no wrong, it doesn't matter how I live. So I walk around kind of confused. I've got myself a guilty conscience because I've got this feeling I'm doing bad things, but I'm told don't worry about it because nothing is really wrong. And then I'm told when you die, the lights go out and you're just worm food. I think that's kind of depressing.
Me too. I think about like how, like you were saying about how we're like lucky. And how it's like selective of like certain traits that people have, just like your circumstances are so based on luck. Like you don't have any control over like the grand scheme of things. And I also feel like that's just like depressing.
Yeah. See, as I kind of think it through and I look at kind of the postmodern worldview and evolutionary thinking, I keep coming to a dead end of depression and just going, well, that's so hopeless. I mean, and then two, now this is a debatable issue, certainly, but there's something inside of us that says, I don't want to die because I've got this feeling there is an afterlife. And there's something that is going to happen beyond the grave, which can either be scary or it can be hopeful. But if it's hopeful, that gives me something to live for. But if it's nothing, I mean, why are you studying? I mean, seriously, why? You're working really hard and anatomy's just kicking you. Why are you bothering with this if your worldview yeah. is it's godless, it's purposeless? Yeah. I think I understand increasingly why so many people this generation feel kind of hopeless and bleak
yeah.
than formerly.
Yeah, I think a lot of my generation, I know that I can sometimes do this. I'll just be like, what's the point? What's the point of all this? Why do I have a job?
There I get it.
Big questions that none of us can really answer. And it's troubling because you want them to be answered. And you're just going to keep going back to them because they're just such big questions. And I feel like they can, an answer would help you find a purpose.
Okay. There was a guy named King Solomon. Are you familiar with this story?
I think so.
He was a guy in the Bible. Yeah. All right. And he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. This is the one that begins, there's a time, there's a season to every purpose under heaven. And he said things like, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. He looked around. So this is the richest guy in the world. And he looked around and he went, this is vanity. So he tried to figure out what's the point of all of this. So he gathered himself huge land, and it didn't satisfy. He gathered for himself many women, didn't satisfy him. He tried learning, so he gathered books, but it didn't satisfy. He tried wine, so he would drink his way to happiness. And he said, it's all vanity. This is just vanity and chasing after the wind. So this is a guy that the Bible says was the smartest man ever. And he realized it's all vanity, which is exceedingly bleak. But then he gets to the end of his treatise, the end of his book, and he says, unless.
Oh, that's good. And it seems like a good place to take a break. Actually, it's probably not the best place to take a break, but it's time. We only have so much time, and so we have to take this break. But we will be right back with more Todd and Jordan. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, we are back on Witness Wednesday. And when we last left Todd and Jordan, Todd was explaining to Jordan about Solomon's search for happiness and purpose from Ecclesiastes. And just as he was about to explain what Solomon discovered, I took a break. Sorry, it's the story of my life. The blueprint of when to be inconvenient. It's just what I do. But let's get back to that chat now. Todd and Jordan, it's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
But then he gets to the end of his treatise, the end of his book, and he says, unless a man or a woman is doing everything for God, it's all meaningless. But if you are doing something for the one who is higher, who is bigger, who is your creator and maker, then it's transcendent. Then it has purpose, because you're not doing this just for yourself. You're doing this for the creator of the universe. And all of a sudden, it's like studying sociology. I'm not just doing this to get a grade. I'm doing this to have the mind of God and to think better and to please God. That's what his conclusion was. Believing in God is the only thing that brings purpose and a bit of sanity and an explanation for why things are the way they are. Would you agree with his conclusion?
Yeah, I am religious myself, and I sometimes it'll be hard for me to like understand people who are like atheists, because I feel like having a religious background, I feel like I have a sense of purpose in life. Because I have something that I like believe in, and something that, I don't know, just like makes me want to be a better person. And so I do agree with him, because I feel like we can all like get wrapped up in our worlds, just like our personal worlds, not like thinking about other people or like thinking about society. And when you have that like individualistic mindset, it's just like very selfish, and it's very like lonely, I feel like, in a sense. So
what religion are you?
I'm Christian.
So how does particularly the Christian religion make sense of all of these issues about morality and hope and the future and the purpose of our existence? So from your Christian perspective, how would you explain this in a way that has meaning and makes sense?
Make sense of what?
Make sense of everything. Why did he get up this morning? What are we doing here? How are we supposed to live? What's going to happen when I die? You know, the big philosophical questions.
Well, I think in like that lens, it's more of like a God placed me on this earth to be morally good and to help other people try to be as good as they can, so that in the afterlife, we won't have to worry about things like trivial things like school or like family problems, just like things like that. I just feel like, I don't know, these are some hard questions. Wow.
You're the one studying sociology.
Yeah. I just feel like he placed certain people on this earth to like make society better than what it was before.
Let me give it a go. All right. I'll share with you. I'm a Christian. Yeah. So let me share with you how I think it deals with all of these issues holistically, because I think there's other competing religions that will answer some of these questions, like where did I come from? What am I doing? They might answer one or two of them, but to answer all five of the big questions in a way that's harmonious and internally satisfying and externally verifiable, I think the only religion that does that is Christianity. And I think here's how it does it. The Bible says you are not primordial ooze. You are not lucky. You are knit together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. So in other words, Jordan, God knew about you before he created the universe, and his intention was, I'm going to make that young lady because I have got plans and purposes for her. I've got work for her to do. That alone should cause you to go, okay, this is feeling better than being just evolved swamp goo. Right? That God of the universe intricately designed you. So everything about you, every feature, your exact height, he's got you made the way that he designed you to be made. I think that that's satisfying, both internally and externally, because it's hard for me to imagine you didn't write this. I mean, I walk up here and it's like, okay, There's a bunch of stuff written. It's communicating information. I can understand it. There's intelligence to this paper. There's intelligence in the design of the universe. Clearly, somebody had to do all of this. It didn't just happen. So I think the where did I come from is satisfied by the Christian worldview that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created you. Now it gets trickier. What's the point? What are we doing here, right? What do you think, Jordan, is God's intention for the universe? Why did he do all of this? What's the big point? Go.
I don't know.
All right. All right, here it is. The story of Adam and Eve in the garden. You remember that one? Two people made in God's image, male and female. He loved them both equally. There isn't one better than the other. He loves men. He loves women. And they were perfect. But they were given a law. Don't eat of that fruit, which seems like kind of an odd restriction, but there was a point to it. Will you be obedient? And guess what? They weren't. Well, you're related to Adam and Eve. By the way, I am too. And sociologically, here in chapter 8, where it's talking about racial issues, knowing that alone changes the game. Because you're not one race and I'm not another. We're the human race. You and I are related. The only difference is you've got more melanin than I do. That's it. So the Christian worldview says, you're not my better, I'm not your better. We are co-equal in the eyes of God. All right. But we sinned and we inherited that nature. And you and I break God's laws. We violate his commandments, just like Adam and Eve did. But here's what happened in the garden. They broke the laws. They were naked and unashamed. But as soon as they sinned, they were ashamed. And they covered themselves up. And something extraordinary happened. God killed an animal to take the skins and cover them. They were covering themselves with leaves. God killed an animal, shed the first blood to cover their shame. And then he said, I'm going to send somebody who's going to deal with this issue finally. Okay, it's kind of a fuzzy little picture. It's like a great big drama is about to unfold. God has to cover the shame and the sins of the human beings by shedding blood. And he promises there's going to come one who is going to deal definitively with our sin and our shame, but he doesn't tell us who it is. And then the Bible progresses and it gives us clearer and clearer pictures of who that one is who is going to deal with our shame problem. So you remember this maybe from Sunday school, you know, all those animals that had to die, Passover, all of those things. Blood being shed all over the place for the covering of sins. So literally millions of lambs were slaughtered as a picture of our need for covering for our sins. One day, a man named John the Baptist saw a man walking and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He was announcing the one that God was talking about in the garden has now come. And all the blood that was shed as a picture for the covering of sins is now going to be fulfilled by the one who dies to take away the sins of the world. So God created human beings knowing we'd sin so that he could send his beloved son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to die for sinners as a lamb whose blood was shed, a spotless lamb, so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. Because God would be unjust if he just waved a magic wand and forgave everybody. That would be unjust. But he's just. And so he pays the debt of sinners in the lifeblood of his son so that for all of eternity, God can be celebrated for being the God who saves sinners. He is so good that he pays the fine that we criminals could not. That's the purpose of the universe. God made the whole place so that his majesty of mercy, grace, and loving kindness could be put on display by saving sinners like you and like me. But now you've got something even more important to think through than this sociology quiz. You've got to figure out if you are going to receive God's offer of forgiveness through his son or not. Can I leave you with that thought today?
Yeah, I've got a lot to think about, man.
Could I encourage you to think about it today and not go to sleep without thinking about it?
Yeah, I'm going to think about this today.
Because what can happen is you kind of suppress it And then what you're doing is the Bible talks about like trampling on the blood of Christ. It's like you're rejecting like the best thing that ever happened to you. Imagine it's like this. It's like before starting school and university here, somebody said, I'm going to give you all of my A's, Jordan. You don't even need to study. And if you get everything, I'm going to give you my A's and you are going to graduate magna cum laude, right? That pales in comparison to what Jesus did. Jesus gives you an A. He gives you righteous standing with God so that you can be with him forever. This is a big deal. So don't let the day go by. Just think about it. It's good news.
And that's definitely what it is. Good news. It's the best news in the history of the world. Let's all commit to be in prayer for Jordan, who may have just realized that she might actually not be saved after all. As Todd explained, this is not information you should suppress. Don't say, oh, I've got plenty of time to do all of this religious stuff, because you don't know. You do not. That's why the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. And tomorrow, well, hopefully we'll see you right back here tomorrow. But until then, until tomorrow, go serve your King.